Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is about the results of the election in Armenia, Hayatistan. So the ballots were cast yesterday on a Sunday, not uncommon in that part of Europe or West Asia, the results filtering through today. And so it turns out to be a decisive victory for Civil Contract, the party led by the Prime Minister, Nikol Pashinyan. Now, he came to power in a bloodless revolution in 2018. And Russia accepted that, even though it was someone who was there, meaning he was in charge previously. And they managed to have a good relationship with him for the first 2 years. Of course, he was an adult at the time of the collapse of the Soviet Union and all the rest of it. I'm not sure who's ever remembered the Communist Party. He speaks flawless Russian as well as fluent English, a former journalist, not part of that pro-Moscow business elite, which has dominated Armenia since independence in 1991. So, the Civil Contract Party was previously part of the My Step alliance, and he's met President Putin on a number of occasions. Now, things went very badly for him towards the end of 2020 when Azerbaijan began this war against him. The Azerbaijanis had been patiently rebuilding their armed forces, getting most modern military equipment, training from their cousins, the Turks, and then that war they managed to take back Nagorno Karabakh, which the Armenians called Artsakh, as well as some Armenia proper. Now remember, Armenia is a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. That's the Russian equivalent to NATO. So the only members are Russia, Belarus, Armenia, Kazakhstan, goodness, where am I forgetting? Tajikistan, and I think is it Kyrgyzstan? I think it's just the six. And there's a Eurasian Economic Union, which is different, which overlaps with it. So Russia said, we will not defend Nagorno-Karabakh, because legally that's Azerbaijani, in that they're correct. But the Russians were legally obliged to defend Azerbaijan proper, and they didn't do so and gave them almost no military equipment. So the Armenians are relatively disappointed. But the Armenians think they've got nowhere else to go. There are only 3 million of them, a landlocked country, almost bereft of natural resources. They could easily be wiped out by 10 million Azerbaijanis to the east or 90 million Turks to the west. They're sandwiched between them. The only other land borders are with Iran and Georgia, and trading via those ones. They couldn't trade with Azerbaijan or Armenia. But so some of them wanted to go to carry on with this good relationship with Russia, and partly say our problem is we're not slavishly obedient enough, and then Russia might save us. The one thing I was thinking aloud: should they even apply to join Russia? Become a union republic or sort of an autonomous republic or something like that. Okay, so and gradually they've drifted away from that. Pashinyan has finally concluded there is no point sucking up to Moscow. You'll get nothing. And remember that war was brought to an end in 2020 when both President Ilham Aliyev of Azerbaijan and the Prime Minister of Armenia, Nikol Pashinyan, went to Moscow, and then Putin mediated. So that confirmed him as the arbiter of these affairs in the former Soviet space. But anyway, since then, the Armenians have gone further out of the Russian orbit, and they've been open about their desire to accede to the European Union. I mean, if that happens, I think that wouldn't happen for 20 years. They haven't said they wanted to join NATO. Now, Russia's tried to foment coup d'etat before in 1999, when Armenia and Azerbaijan were close to a peace agreement. Some ultra-nationalist Armenians shot dead the prime minister and four other members of parliament. And Alexander Litvinenko, that FSB guy defected to the United Kingdom, said he knew about the plot. That was that the Russian government, Putin, was prime minister at the time, doing it because they didn't want peace in the Caucasus. They wanted to Azerbaijan and Armenia to be bidding for their support to divide and rule. And Pashinyan says there have been four coup attempts, all orchestrated by Russia over the past couple of years. And it's not difficult to believe. And he's provided ample evidence. I can't think of a lie that Pashinyan's ever told. As for Putin, we could be here all day listing the lies that he's told. We know he has previous on this one. They failed the coup in Montenegro and so on. There's a lot of electoral interference in the run-up to this election 2026, trying to besmirch Pashinyan's reputation and so on, saying that he's a stooge for the Turks. So, they can't beat Azerbaijan, and they've got that Trump whatever corridor for peace and prosperity. So allowing the Azerbaijanis to drive across Armenian territory in the very south, close to the Iranian border, to link up the major portion of Azerbaijan with the Nakhchivan exclave and then on to Turkey. It's possible that other roads and railways could be opened up. That's not the most direct route they're going to go to Turkey. And then that's trade is boosting both of them. But are they being very naive? Will the Turks and the Azerbaijanis attack sometime, try and wipe them out? Azerbaijan has even said that Armenia is not a real country, doesn't deserve to be there, never was there. They just are guests later on. And in the former Armenian village that's been captured, the Azerbaijanis have deliberately destroyed gravestones. These are like title deeds proving that Armenians were there centuries ago, the erasure of their heritage. It's a horrific thing to do, a war crime. Anyway, so and then so Pashinyan's party has won. They want real democracy. Now, the major opposition to them is a strong Armenia party led by Samvel Karapetian, who's an Armenian who's a dual Russian citizen, and he's very pro-Moscow. He hasn't quite gone so far as to say that Armenia should declare war on Ukraine. Pashinyan visited Ukraine a year ago, and Russia was not happy about that. But Samvel Karapetian's party's got 23% of the vote against 50% for Pashinyan's party. There's also Armenia Alliance, led by Robert Kocharyan, the former president. And by the way, Samvel Karapetian, he's in prison on various charges, but his party's obviously still allowed to run. There's a small party, Prosperous Armenia, led by Gagik Tsarukayan. By the way, so they all these surnames end in IAN. So yeah, that's it. It was a great honor for Armenia to host the Eurasian, so it's the European political community. But that means inviting President Erdogan and President Aliyev. So relations are better than ever. They simply have accepted that they've lost. But you want to arm yourselves to the teeth in case Azerbaijan and Turkey attack again. You can't trust anyone to come to your aid. And Iran's in a very, very bad shape. The Armenians don't want to be too friendly with the Iranians. They might face hostility from the United States and Israel. Israel's got a very cordial relationship with Azerbaijan, more so than any other Muslim country, because they're both hostile to Iran. But Iranians used to buy things from Armenia. The Armenians help them evade sanctions, sell them parts to keep their civilian airliners going, things like that. So, yeah, it's a decisive victory for the pro-Western camp for real democracy. The Russian disinformation campaign failed. But remember, there are at least 2 million people in Russia who are ethnically Armenian, even only of half or a quarter, not the more Armenian citizens. One of the things in the Armenian constitution is in order to be elected to the Armenian parliament, you must be fluent in the Armenian language and have been resident of Armenia for a certain number of years before the election. And what that rules out the Russian Armenians in most cases, who've often, they could have come back to Armenia, but they live there for a few years, and often they can't speak Armenian fluently. They might have been born in Russia, grown up there, or only half Armenian, only a quarter Armenian, and so on. So Putin would have liked to use these people to give themselves greater sway in Armenia, but it's not working for him. You're a skeptic, though I am. The European Union is not evil, whereas the Russian government is. And if the Armenians want to join the European Union, I don't dispute their right to apply, or the European Union's right to accept them if they wish to do so. But as I say, they haven't even got candidate status yet. And Turkey's had its accession frozen. They've been a candidate since 1987. That's been for candidates for not quite as long. So it'd be a very long road to join. So that is a blow for Russia. It shows the diminution of its sway in the erstwhile Soviet Union. But another point is, this could be reversed. And is this trajectory is not absolutely clear. Maybe in a few years Putin will get his way. But Russia doesn't have the headspace, doesn't have the funds, doesn't have the troops to bully Armenia as they'd like to. Remember, there's Georgia in between. They have to get through Georgia. One of the worrying things for Armenia is Georgia's got a more amicable relationship with Russia now than it did for a long time. And what if Georgia cut off trade? That's why the Armenians, they need alternative trade routes, and they've got them in Turkey and Azerbaijan, which is good for them all. But I can see why they're circumspect about this. All right. Well, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal. GeorgeCallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.